Change starts and stops with a WTF moment. The first is, what the fuck am I doing? We finally wake up to the reality that our life is not what we want it to be. The denial is done. We have to ask ourselves the hard questions. If we never have that moment, nothing changes. The next WTF is walking towards fear. If you aren't willing to find your growth edges and take steps in a new and likely scary direction, again, nothing changes. This podcast is a space to explore open and honest conversations around creating change in our personal worlds, which honestly has become my favorite adventure yet. Thanks for following along. Heyo, it's me, Christina, here to introduce yet another guest in this fashion. This week's guest is Ava, and she, oh my gosh, you guys need to buckle up for this conversation because Ava is the definition of a creator. She is being so intentional with how she wants to live her life. She's looking around. She's not letting anybody else dictate what she does. She's going for it. And I have no doubt in my mind that she's going to continue to create amazing things because it's part of her. It's who she is. It's in her DNA. It cannot be unwired. It cannot be removed. So honestly, in my opinion, when I look at Ava and I hear the conversation that we have, I hear that her desire is greater than her fear. And she has a desire to live a phenomenal life, which she's doing at a very young age in another country because that's what she wanted to do. And to me, that's amazing. So listen to this. Listen to Ava through a lens of curiosity, community, and creation, and see what you can pull in terms of gold from this week's episode of the Walking Towards Fear podcast. Here we go.
Season 3, Walking Towards Fear podcast. And today I have a gem of a human being with me, someone that I actually met through a mastermind that I was part of. I was actually connected with her mom, who, when we were having conversations, was like, I think you need to talk with my daughter. And I'm so glad that she's connected us. So right now I'm talking with Ava Haig, who is 24 years old and has visited 35 countries and is currently living in Bali on her own. So Ava, welcome.
Hi, I'm so excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
I'm so excited to have you. I mean, when we talked the first time, I feel like we could have talked for like 3 or 4 days on all the things that like you were doing and I was doing. And the thing that just like stood out to me again is you have done so much at a young age and really kind of on your own independently. And I think international mm-hmm. travel in particular can be kind of scary for people. So I kind of want just to ask you, like, what your journey into that world has been like.
Yeah, it's been a long one, that's for sure. I started traveling with my family because my family's from Germany. So my mom's whole side is from Germany. So I grew up going there my whole life. I got my first passport at 18 months. And so we just went to Germany and Austria for most of my childhood, but that really opened my mind to the possibility of just like leaving America, I guess. And then in high school, I was presented with the opportunity to study in Germany for a semester. And so I was like, absolutely, I'd love to live with a host family. I'd love to get over there. It's my dream. And so I went over for 3 months, stayed with a host family. The daughter of that family came and lived with me for 3 months, which was amazing. And we're still connected, which is so cool. And then after that, I was like, I need to study abroad again. So then in college, I decided to study abroad again, but I wanted to go somewhere that was absolutely crazy and outside of my comfort zone. Because I'd just grown up going to Europe for all of my childhood. And so I was, and so I decided to go to the Bangkok program, and it was the craziest experience of my life. And I will never live in Bangkok ever again, but it was amazing and gave me a lot of experience. And then I was able to also study abroad for a second semester in Berlin, but I got sent home from that for COVID. So that was a bit sad. And then because I got sent home from COVID, I kind of felt like everything was kind of incomplete and I had so much more I wanted to do. And so that really, the travel bug just latched onto me and it will never leave. I will constantly be needing to travel. But then, yeah, last year I was able, so in 2021, I was able to save up enough money to then in 2022 travel the whole year or most of the year. And so I was able to go to Europe, to parts of Africa, to Central America, to South America. And then in 2023, I decided to move to Bali. So yeah, that's pretty much the entirety of my life traveling summed up in a couple minutes. But yeah, it's been a ride up until this point.
That is so amazing. And it's one of those things, right? In the same way I say the PCT is not for everybody, traveling like you've done is also not for everybody. And I'm sure there are people that are listening that are like, man, I want that, but like, where do I start? So I know we've talked a little bit, I know more about your story, and I know that it's not always been smooth sailing, so to speak, right? All this transition, yeah. Especially we were talking about your experience initially going to this place that pushed you out of your comfort zone to Thailand, right? Tell me a little bit about how that, what you navigated in that process.
Yeah, it was the combination of a language barrier, a cultural, total different culture, different food, different climate, different way of living. And I went with a group from my college. So I was with 15 other people. And then we also had an advisor, but then our advisor was not good at all. He was just kind of dumped us in Bangkok and then went and did his own thing, which was weird because he was a priest. So weird that he ditched us. But yeah, so from the beginning, I was like, okay, but you're literally on your own with, I mean, people from your school, but they're also clueless. So you have to figure everything out on your own. And that ended up being a blessing in disguise because then I really did work to figure everything out. And I worked to make friends. I worked to connect with my professors and like ask them questions about the area and where was the best place to get street food where I would not get food poisoning. Though I did get food poisoning 3 times, so that was sad. But yeah, it was just, everything was absolutely new. And like, that was a bit overwhelming in the beginning and towards the end as well. And I did cry a lot. I did call home a lot, being like, I want to leave Bangkok. Like, I can't stay here. it's too hot. It's too chaotic, all of that. But in the end, I think the hardest experiences we go through are our most fun, our like craziest memories, and we learn the most from. And so even though it was so unbelievably hard, I would not change it for the world. And like, I'm the person I am today with because of it. So yeah.
And as we've already established, you are a very rad person that I'm so happy to be connected with. So to know those experiences kind of led you there, right? So bring me back to that moment where, you know, you're in Bangkok, you are crying, like, I don't know if I can or want to do this. You said you were kind of overwhelmed. I'm sure there's probably some fear there too. Like, how did you actually manage that?
Yeah. In the moment, just crying, like crying really helped. But then actually sitting down and figuring out, okay, what are things that I do like here? And how can I bring more of that into my life, I guess, and really focus on that instead of the negatives. And so in the beginning, I was obsessed with this Indian food restaurant. It was like an Indian Nepalese food restaurant, literally best food I've ever had to this day. It was so good. And the people there were incredible people. We didn't speak a word of each other's language, but somehow we connected really well. And so I started going there every day just to like sit and be there. And so that really helped me. And then I also started going on walks along the waterway that was close to my apartment building. And while it did smell like polluted trash, it was like a little bit of nature. Like it did have greenery and stuff like that. And so that helped me calm down a little bit too. And then really focusing on like, this is Thailand. Like I can go back home. I'm going back home in 6 months. Like have my time here, spend my time here. The end will come. And then that just like kind of calmed my overwhelmedness. My feeling of being overwhelmed, and I was able to kind of expand my mindset, I guess, if that makes sense.
It makes a ton of sense, right? Kind of what we focus on and where we put our attention is really important. So for you to kind of recognize that in the moment after letting yourself feel it all, right? You're like, well, first I cried. And then
yeah.
I decided to figure out what to do about it. It's kind of that sense of responsibility for your own experience. We were just talking about that before we started recording. So for you, how do you think like responsibility and being independent has kind of changed you through all your solo travel?
I definitely like beforehand back home, like I went to a school that I was with the same people from kindergarten or even nursery school until 12th grade. So I was with these people for 14 years of my life with no change. And then in university, you're there 4 years of your life, no change. You meet people and then you stick with those people. And so like being in Bangkok and being just abroad and stuff and having the responsibility to kind of like meet new people and do all this stuff on your own every single day has changed me a lot to like really open myself up, but also protect myself, because you meet a lot of people who are good for you, and then you also meet a lot of people who are bad for you. Same with experiences, and maybe cultures. And so knowing when to open yourself up and knowing when to kind of take a step back. Like for me, that would be either going out with all of these people at the hostel or staying in and doing my own thing. And before, I felt extreme FOMO. And so I was always like, I have to keep doing everything all at once, all the time. And I guess having the responsibility and being able to say, Ava, that's going to cause burnout. You're going to get sad. Like you're going to, like, it's going to be awful. Your energy's going to die. Do your own thing, do what's good for you. So that made me actually grow a lot as a person. And, I'm able to spend time by myself now, without feeling FOMO to go hang out with every single person in the entire world, like 7 billion friends, here we are. So yeah. But yeah. And responsibility for also like where I'm going and what I'm doing every day, how I'm spending my own money, how, what I'm eating, like how am I staying healthy, exercising, all on my own without anyone to keep me accountable.
Yeah, I mean, that's basically commitment to yourself and trusting yourself, right? When you're talking about knowing not only like socially how to make sure that you are kind of fueled properly, right? Or you're not just doing everything for fear of missing out or something like that. But you're talking about like even knowing like, you know, am I in a situation that's not great? And what do I do about it versus do I feel safe here? So like, what kind of tangible tips other than just like trust yourself would you give someone that like is curious about, you know, solo travel and they've never done it before?
Yeah, definitely. Start, if you've never done it before, start out with something you're comfortable with. Take baby steps, because if you jump into it, it can get really overwhelming. And if you don't have a group of people that you can fall back on, it can be really scary and it could scare you from the experience. So either go somewhere crazy with a friend at first and then go travel solo on your own, or go somewhere that's a bit similar to your own culture, similar to your day to day, I guess. So for me, that was Europe. Like Europe was a bit similar to the US, but also different. And so I was able to kind of navigate food and where to stay, how to make friends, language barriers and stuff like that a bit easier there. And then I was able to also, from there, travel to South America, which is much different and much crazier. And I was a bit more comfortable there because I'd had these experiences already in Europe alone, where the public transportation is a bit more understandable, where in South America, it's just craziness. So I definitely, I would give the advice of starting small and then building up. And then also don't be afraid to stay in hostels. There are a lot of, maybe not nowadays, but there have been a lot of negative thoughts around staying in hostels and how they're not so nice, or they're not in the nicest parts of town and stuff like that. But the hostel industry has exploded, and there's so many amazing hostels that you can get for so cheap. And then there you meet all your friends. And so literally walking into a hostel, it's your family. Like, everyone's there to meet everyone. Everyone's there to have a good time. And if you're an introvert, it can be a little overwhelming also, but it's also just like a really safe space to be like, tonight I really want to go out and hang out with these people, and tomorrow I'm going to do my own thing. And like, everyone is there to support everyone. Most people are solo traveling also, so they have a lot of tips with where to go, what to do, maybe safety standards for the city you're in. So you can gain a lot of knowledge from staying in a hostel. And then also just, I personally, like, journaling really helped me kind of comprehend everything that was happening around me. And it also helped me with like eating alone. I would go into a cafe, and instead of being on my phone, just like awkwardly in the cafe, I started journaling in the cafe. And then that led to me being able to just sit by myself with my thoughts in this strange place. So yeah, because I feel like we all feel so awkward alone in a restaurant. So that really helped me get to the point of just being alone. And it's amazing, because then you trust yourself so much more when you can be by yourself. So yeah.
Oh, that just gives me goosebumps. Like, there are so many people that I think would benefit from an experience of solo travel, even if it's within your own country, right? Just to go somewhere by yourself and see what comes up and recognize, like, okay, I don't know anybody here. I'm responsible for my experience. What do I have to do next? And I mean, this podcast is called Walking Towards Fear because running towards fear is irresponsible, but walking towards it, right? It's taking these small steps, which is exactly what you just outlined, which is so beautiful. But because I'm sure you've also had experiences that have been what I'll call terrifying or scary. Do you have any moments that like really stick out in your mind of like, oh shit, I can't believe I actually navigated that?
Yeah. when I was in Bolivia, I was sitting in a park, and this guy came up to me. I was on a bench, and this guy came up to me, and he was clearly on some kind of drugs or had some type of crazy mental illness or something, because he was not right in the head. And he came up to me and he started like snarling at me and kicking the bench on either side of me. And so I was like, oh my God, don't make eye contact. Just like look down, don't like engage. And it seemed to work. And so he went away. And then he came back and he asked me in Spanish, he was like, ¿Cómo estás? Like snarling at me. And I was kind of fed up with it. And so I was like, bien, y tú? And then he slapped me across the face. And immediately, five men that were in the park as well, like tackled him to the ground and started beating him up, to the point where I kind of felt bad for him. I was like, oh my God, this guy is getting like mauled in this park now. But it just goes to show that like, I was safe. Like, this experience happened, but these people stepped in immediately and were there to help me. And so in the moment, I was like, oh my God, like, what if it had been at night? Like, what if nobody had been there? Like, what would have happened? But some sort of guardian angels were looking down on me, and helped me with these like five other men that tackled him to the ground. but there have been other moments where it's like, that's the scariest one. That's the biggest one that happened. But there have been other like smaller moments where it's like, I get lost on public transportation at night with no cell service and I get off in the middle of like a small town in the middle of nowhere and I have no idea where to go. And then these angels just come and help me. Like one time it was this old lady who was about to get on the train, saw me looking confused and came over and asked if I was okay and needed help. And then she literally got on the train and came with me to my destination. So she knew that I would get there. And another time, like we were in Nepal and we thought we were taking a bus. Nobody spoke English. So we thought we were taking a bus to this town, to this one town that was just 2 hours away. But instead we were actually taking a bus that was to this other town that was 10 hours away. And so we had to get off of the bus in the middle of nowhere. And we had no self-service, no idea where we were, no idea how we were going to get back because it was the smallest town ever. And this family ended up standing with us in the middle of the road to stop a bus that was going back to the city that we came from. And like, they let us hold their baby and like, they fed us tea as we waited for this bus. And like, it's just, yeah. So there have been many experiences where it's been like, oh my God, how did I get out of that? But like, whatever you want to call it, guardian angels, the energy of the universe, like they have been shining down. So yeah, it's amazing to experience.
And I think what you're kind of alluding to is just like the kindness of people. I think right now there's this really large social narrative being pushed that like the world is so scary and like stay in your box and stay in your lane. But to see like, actually, when you're out there, people are kind, they do want to help. And of course, trust your judgment, trust your intuition. And at the same time, when you were saying, right, your mind kind of went down this rabbit hole of, oh my gosh, if I was in this park where I got slapped by this man on drugs, like at night, what would have happened? Like, what if this and what if that? It's like, but how helpful is that, right? Like, of course, your mind is going to go there. And honestly, like, the theme that you just talked a little bit about is effectively like a sense of adventure. You're like, okay, well, that didn't go well. What's next?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's been like my experience with people around the world is like we're literally all the same. Like media can make the biggest deal about different cultures and different governments and stuff. But that's exactly what it is. Like it's different governments and the people are essentially exactly the same as the people who live right next door to you. And like, I've been trying to go to places also where in the US we have this narrative of these are bad places to go. And so far, every single place I've gone to has been absolutely lovely and not at all what the narrative in the US tells us. So it's been really fascinating to also take a step back from my own culture and like see it from the outside and kind of get an outside perspective. And I think that helps me a lot more when I'm back in the States to understand what's going on. So, yeah.
That's really cool. And I mean, I'm sure you're not an advocate of like throwing yourself into chaotic situations just to prove that you can thrive, but to see, you know, like you're taking steps literally towards your fear of like, okay, everybody says that this thing is scary, you shouldn't do it, but there's a lot of misinformation and mistruth that can happen there. We're talking about like people too. And I know you are working right now to build a community where you are living in Bali. So talk to me a little bit about the difference that you've noticed between like being alone versus being lonely and how you navigate community being, again, a solo female traveler.
Yeah. Being alone is kind of like where you're around people and you know you have people. And then you're able to like go and talk to those people or like FaceTime your family or your friends back home. And that's okay. That's good. Being alone is fabulous. You're with yourself. But then being lonely is when you don't have any of that. And when you're kind of just fully alone. Like for me, when I came here, the time difference was 13 hours. And so there are moments in the day where I literally did not have anyone around me because I was staying in a hotel room and my family was all asleep. My friends were all asleep back home. And so I was literally just sitting in my hotel room. I didn't have a job yet, so I didn't have anyone to talk to except for the cleaning lady that came into my room once a day. So that was like actually lonely, where like alone is when you're maybe surrounded by people but not necessarily engaging with them, if that makes sense.
Oh, it definitely makes sense. And I think, I mean, people in their own communities they've grown up in can feel lonely. So to see, again, going back to that responsibility piece, it is kind of your responsibility to create community if that's what you're looking for. And I know that you've done that well. So if someone, you know, not just traveling through, and you talked about hostels and kind of the environment there being like family, but for people who are interested in potentially moving abroad, like you've done, like how do you create community?
Yeah. My biggest advice is to go on Facebook and join Facebook groups, because they are the most helpful thing ever. Most, at least here in Bali, like all the Facebook groups are geared towards meeting people in person. And so there's like expat Facebook groups. There's people traveling, like tourist Facebook groups for Bali. There's We Like to Run on the Beach Facebook groups. Like there are so many different kinds of groups that you can join. And then from there, you just start meeting, it snowballs basically. And so here I joined Facebook groups and there was this one girl asking how she could meet more men to be friends with, because it seemed all her friends were women. And so I commented on her post. I was like, same question, but how do I make actual just friends in general? Because I don't have any here. And so she was like, oh, there's this group and this group and this group that you can join. And like, they do these events and these events and these events. And I was like, oh my God, okay. Overwhelmed a little bit, but fabulous. And so I was able to join those events, and that's where some of my friends are from. And then also Bumble BFF, do not count her out. I have met some amazing people through that. And there was this one girl that I met here who introduced me to a volunteering place that she worked at. And basically, it's a place where we make food for people who have low income and can't necessarily buy their own food. And so I went there, and that is the most wholesome place to make friends because everybody's working towards the same goal of helping others. And so I met the most wholesome people through that. And then through them, I started meeting their friends and then their friends' friends. And again, it snowballed. But I think my best advice is to join Facebook groups. And if you feel comfortable, Bumble BFF.
I love that. And to your point, connection is one of those things that kind of feels like dominoes. Like you start putting yourself out there a bit, and then all of a sudden you're like, you have this like, wow, there's a lot of momentum leading me to a lot of people. And now I have to reassess and be like, now I have FOMO because I can't meet everybody all the time.
Yep. And I'm that person. Exactly.
Amazing. And you were just talking about some of like the tourist Facebook groups. And we've talked in the past about, you know, the difference between being a tourist being versus being a traveler. In the same way, there's a difference between being, you know, a hiker and being a through hiker for people who are listening kind of still from my hiking days. So what does that distinction look like for you?
Yeah, I see tourists as kind of people who stay in the resorts, people who stay near the touristic attractions, kind of, I guess, stay towards things they're comfortable with, which isn't necessarily a bad thing. But yeah, they're a bit more, they're there for a short while, and they don't really try to get out into the local community, I guess. But then I see travelers as people who go to a destination to learn about the local culture and not go to like a beach resort or to like the all-inclusive resorts, or, you know, like McDonald's in Thailand kind of thing. But try to get the local food, try to stay in more local neighborhoods, are there for maybe a longer period of time. Yeah, I think that's how I would describe them.
Yeah, and I know that you've kind of identified yourself as a traveler. You're like, again, living currently internationally, you've been to 35 countries. And with all of that, the thing that I, you know, would assume holds a lot of even tourists back from becoming travelers is fear, right? Mm-hmm. Like, well, I don't know where mm-hmm. to start, or I don't know the language, or I don't know the culture, all that kind of mm-hmm. storyline. So even for you briefly, because refresh me, what languages do you speak, Ava?
Just German. So German and English.
Okay, cool. So mm-hmm. with the language barriers, how have you found that to be kind of like throughout all the different places you've traveled? Like, how do you navigate it?
Oh, it's so fun. it's so funny because, I mean, there's Google Translate, but sometimes you don't have data or Wi-Fi or anything like that. And so there's a lot of like hand gestures and like physical movements that you can do. And it's really funny. Like my grandmother tells this such a funny story about her experience with language barrier. Because she lived in Brazil while my mom was growing up. So they did not speak Portuguese. And in their neighborhood, the people there did not speak German or English. And so she went to the butcher shop to try and get a bone for their dog. And so she was like, okay, I need a bone. So she starts hitting one of her arms and makes like the knocking sound. And then the butcher's like, oh yeah. Okay. Bone. And he pulls out a bone. And then she was like, no, but I need like the elbow bone of the cow or whatever. And she was like, the elbow, knocks on the elbow of her arm and then goes moo, 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 moo. And starts like making all these animal sounds. And the butcher's like, oh yeah, moo. And like, and she ends up getting the bone that she wanted. While looking absolutely ridiculous. But it's so funny. And like, when I go to different countries, I try, when I'm on water or whatever, I try to learn a few phrases that I can then use, like please and thank you and hello and goodbye, and maybe like, can I have like a coffee or something, like how to order in a restaurant or ask for directions kind of thing. And that helps a lot when then out on the streets, you can put it in your notes app and then just like read it off to whoever's there. So that helps a lot, but then it's also really fun to just like, I don't know, make a taxi sound, or like maybe you need to go to the hospital, I don't know, so you make a siren sound. And yeah, it's funny.
Ava's over here and dying and she's like, wee woo, wee woo.
Exactly.
And I love that, because you're bringing the fun to it, right? You're gamifying this piece of, there's a language barrier, and, you know, expression and being expressive, like with your facial movements and all that, I'm sure has, people can tell if you're happy or if you're angry, right? Like basically, yes. And it sounds like too, you have to be willing to kind of look a little foolish and look a little ridiculous, right? Mm-hmm. Like knocking on your elbow and screaming moo at a butcher. Some people might be too self-conscious for that. And there are steps you can take in that direction to get more comfortable with that too. But that's a really fun way to look at it, that it's not a challenge. It's just fun.
Mm-hmm. And everyone's so accommodating too. Like that goes back to the fear of other cultures and other people that our media projects. And like, no, not at all. Like people are so accepting and so patient and so kind in my experience. So it doesn't matter. Everyone's trying to have fun. So yeah. And trying to help also. So yeah.
For sure. So with all the traveling that you have done, I'm sure you get the question a lot, like, you know, how do you afford it? And I'm sure some of that is just, like you said, accommodations, hostels, right? You're not staying at, you know, the top tier resorts that you can find. But would you have any other recommendations for people on a like budget or affordability perspective? Because again, I know you're young, and it's not like you've been working your whole life and just decided to go travel the world. So what are some like small tips you would give there?
Yeah, I kind of break down my budget into 5 different categories. So I think about it in terms of accommodation. Activities, transportation, food, and then items or like things that I want to buy. And so with accommodation, you can save money by staying in hostels, which is great. There's also a website called Couchsurfing where you can basically go and stay on someone's couch for free. I haven't tried that because I'm a woman and I'm a bit more skeptical about that as a woman. But for any of the men out there, I've heard really good things about that website. So definitely check it out. And then for transportation, for flights, I've tried so many different websites and Skyscanner is the best one to find the cheapest flights. And then also when thinking about your budget, you have to think about like the time you're willing to spend getting from place to place. So usually taking more time to get somewhere is the cheaper option, but sometimes you are traveling for 2 weeks and so you don't have that kind of time. So maybe you put more money towards transportation, or you stay in one place so you don't have to put money towards transportation. And then maybe take it away from nice food or something like that. But then in terms of food, I try to ask my hostels where like cheap local places are, and usually they give me really good recommendations because they're catering towards people who don't have a lot of money. And then through that, you can kind of maybe ask those restaurant owners, where's another good local spot? And the local spots are always the cheapest. So if you can find the local spots for food, you're getting the local cuisine, and then you're also getting cheap food. So yeah, that. And then with items, I try to steer clear of buying souvenirs. I try to stick to pictures and like photographs and making my own postcards kind of thing. But if you do want items, then maybe going away from the touristic centers, and you can see where those are just by the kinds of shops that are around there, and they're all selling the same exact thing. So maybe getting outside of the touristic zone and finding something a bit more authentic, that's a bit cheaper. And then was like, oh, experiences. There's an amazing website called Get Your Guide that has all these different like tours that you can go on, either for a day or for multiple days. It has experiences like food, cooking classes, or I don't know, like a pottery class or something like that, or a rug making class, depending on where you are. And so I like to go on there and I like to look at the different trips they have or experiences they have, and it's usually for pretty cheap, so they're pretty inexpensive, but sometimes they are expensive, and so I'll look at their itineraries and then just go and do them myself without the guide, so then you don't have to tip the guide or pay extra for that. So yeah, that is what I can think of now for saving money.
Amazing. And how do you find the hostels that you stay in? Is that by word of mouth, also Facebook groups? Do you have a site for that you would recommend?
Oh yeah, there's Hostel World is amazing, and it has like all the reviews on that. So in order to find somewhere that's in a safe neighborhood and has a good vibe, I guess, I look at all the reviews, and I highly recommend doing that because those are the people who tell you exactly how their stay was. And so some place might look really nice and have like a higher end review, but then you read through the reviews and maybe it's not the best for you. So yeah, Hostel World is where I start. Booking.com is also good, but not the best, not as good as Hostel World. Agoda is also a good one, but still not as good as Hostel World. And then if I know this is for solo travelers, but if you are traveling with many people, Airbnb is amazing because then you just split the cost and it's way cheaper. So yeah.
Amazing. So, you know, we kind of started about your experience, how you got into this, the stuff that you've navigated. We're kind of moving towards the end of our conversation, which I don't really want to end because I'm loving it.
I know.
But what do you think being a traveler has like given you in your life?
It's given me so much confidence in myself. Like, I can see that I am able to do all of these things. I'm able to make new friends. I'm able to buy a plane ticket and navigate the airport by myself. I'm able to check into hostels, like, you know, all these basic things, but like, find good restaurants, like find things to do, plan out my days. I'm able to communicate with people without having too much of a barrier. Like, there's so much confidence that has come to me through these travels. And then, let me think. Yeah, just confidence has really, hang on, I'm trying to think. I lost my train of thought. So maybe we cut this part out. But
yeah, and I mean, there's no right answer, just curiosity. And for you being like, no, confidence is the thing that's like springing to the forefront of my mind. Would you always have labeled yourself a confident person, or would you say this has really been instrumental in actually helping you to build that skill?
I think I had confidence in certain areas, but then I kind of lost that also through COVID. And so I was able to, like, I used to be super confident when it came to social interactions, but then during COVID, I was isolated, as we all were, for 2 years. And so my social interaction, like confidence with meeting new people and all of that, like absolutely deteriorated. And like having conversations with new people all the time absolutely went downhill. And so really throwing myself into the world after COVID really just kicked that into gear, like to put me out of my comfort zone with meeting new people. And then through practice and like doing it over and over and over and over again, it like built that up, I guess. Yeah,
for sure. And you guys have heard Eva say this so many times, but like she keeps talking about her comfort zone, where it lives, and how she's like pushing herself outside of that into like that growth zone. And the more often you do it, the more comfortable that thing gets, and then you can keep kind of just taking these steps to expand it, which is really fun to see. Again, there's a million ways people can do that. And for you, like a method of choice has been traveling the world. Again, 35 countries by 24. I mean, most people don't hit that in a lifetime, which is amazing.
Thank you.
Truly.
Yeah, it's been a wild ride. Yeah. And something I'm currently pushing myself out of my comfort zone, I guess. Yeah. Just it's also brought me more confidence to push myself out of my comfort zone on a daily basis, and not just like traveling to new places, like in my daily life. So I decided to start teaching English. And before I got my TOEFL certificate, I was terrified of teaching people, because I was like, how could you put this person is learning into my hands? Like, what if I screw it up? And that goes with the confidence thing, is like, what if I'm not good enough? Like, what if I tell them the wrong thing, and then they go out into the world and they know this wrong thing, and it's like, that was my fault. And so teaching has been absolutely terrifying. And like the other day, I had a little bit of anxiety attack because I was so terrified of doing this. But what's important is like, when you're faced with that fear and that anxiety, what you do with it, basically.
Say it louder.
Say it louder for the people in the back. Because having that anxiety and having that fear, like, it's present, but it's also irrational in my head. And so like, I allow myself to feel it, I allow myself to experience it, but then I have to push through it, and I have to go and teach this English class. And so that is the same with travel. Like, if you feel extremely overwhelmed and you feel high anxiety in a situation, just allowing yourself to feel it and then being like, okay, now we move forward, and it's okay. This isn't life or death. It's just traveling to Germany kind of thing. So yeah, that mindset has helped me a lot with a lot of things in my life. It's just like, if you're scared, keep going, because it'll turn out to be amazing. So
yeah, WTF, walk towards fear, right? The fear doesn't go away.
Yeah.
You feel it and you do it anyway. So that just kind of summarizes everything about our conversation so beautifully. And I had shared with you that I love connecting people. I love creating solutions. And one of the things I love to do is allow people to have like an ask of people who are listening. So Eva, is there anything that you'd like to ask of the audience who's listening today? One, maybe they're like, okay, first off, like, how do they follow you? Because you get to post really cool things. Let's start with that. But then, like, what else would you like to ask them?
So I guess we'll start with how to follow my journey. My Instagram is Ava, or A-V-A, period, Haag, H-A-A-G. So yeah, follow me, message me, ask me all your questions. I'm so excited to answer them. And I'm so excited for people who also want to travel, and for women who also want to travel alone. I think that's a huge thing. And then also my ask is, I want to get better at helping people do this stuff. And so I've thought about creating a YouTube channel. I've thought about doing like informational videos on Instagram. I've thought about writing an ebook, like, I don't know, something to help other people do what I am doing, but I have no idea where to start, and I have no idea how to start. So if anybody has any information they can provide, or any support, I would love it. Thank you.
Amazing. Yes, I'll definitely link your Instagram in the notes so people can go follow you there and kind of see your adventures and what you're all about. And yeah, for anyone who's listening who's like, oh yeah, I have ideas of how she can get started, or I know a first step, or I know someone that's done an ebook, I've watched someone start a YouTube channel, connect with me and I will connect you with Ava. Or you can pop right over to her Instagram and just go connect with her right away. But that's the beauty of, again, building community, is finding ways to say, awesome, Ava's going to create them some things. Let's support her in that process. So thank you for your time. I know that it's getting late for you in Bali, so you're probably getting ready to wrap up your day. But Ava, this has been awesome. I'm so excited to see where else your journey takes you. And thanks for spending your time with us.
Thank you so much. This was so much fun. I'm excited.
All right, everyone, keep walking towards fear.